Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. Since the financial crisis, there's been this common refrain for how to prevent it from happening again. Break up the banks.
We still have a problem. We have too big to fail banks. And the question is, how best can we wrestle with those banks?
Well, that is Senator Elizabeth Warren speaking to Politico. But guess what? A lot of the biggest Wall Street firms are, if not smaller, they're taking a lot fewer risks, the kind of risks that could cause another financial collapse. Here's Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman at the New York Times DealBook conference this week.
The U.S. banking system is dramatically safer.
So which is it? Do banks need to be broken up, or are we all a lot safer now? Well, joining me are Sheila Kohatkar from Bloomberg Businessweek and Heidi Moore from Mashable. And so what's going on? Is the banking system dramatically safer?
It's actually not, but we're not seeing it because you only see in a crisis who has prepared well and who hasn't. And right now, people are worried that the banks aren't prepared for the next crisis. As a matter of fact, Standard & Poor's, which judges the credit rating of banks the same way that you would give credit scores to people, may cut the credit rating of the top eight banks in the country because it doesn't think that the U.S. government will or has enough money to save them in the next crisis.
But I thought the Federal Reserve just last week, they came out with another proposal for banks to have to keep even more money aside, that they've been doing this, keeping more money aside. They're selling off their assets. They're getting rid of some of those more risky divisions, but they're still engaging in possibly dangerous activities.
Well, I think that it's important to remember what the original function of a lot of these banks was. I mean, they're really there to channel capital to opportunity and enterprise. They're supposed to take depositor money, other sources of capital, and channel that into productive areas like making loans to small companies, helping companies go public so they can grow and hire more people, you know, extending mortgages. And of course, those things are all boring, to quote Senator Warren. And they, you know, the banks realize that actually they can make a lot more money by gambling, by basically, you know, doing prop trading, by creating
trading with their own money. But they're not really doing this. I mean, there's rules out there to try and prevent them. Heidi, you're kind of looking at me with this sense of, no, they're finding ways to do it.
They're always finding ways to do it. They just haven't been exposed, which is what we find in every crisis, right? There are things that are happening right now under the radar that we don't really know.
But so you don't think that they're having an effect? You don't think that Dodd-Frank, which was passed 5 years ago to regulate the financial system, that it's really not having an impact? I mean, the banks are pretty vocal about, we aren't, you know, we can't do the sorts of things we did before. We're becoming a lot safer.
I think they definitely have changed. I mean, I think they have. They've responded to these regulations. Some banks have closed down certain areas. Some banks, like Citigroup, for example, has had to just literally get rid of certain lines of businesses and try and shrink its balance sheet altogether so it has less sort of debt outstanding.
But then doesn't that make it safer? The banks are shrinking in some, they are getting rid of some units that take more risk. They are having these rules applied to them that are preventing them from doing some of the risky things that they did before. So it sounds like what you're saying is maybe on the margins, they might be chipping away at some of the risky things, but that they really aren't. You're just shaking your head.
No, they're not. I mean, here's the thing, right? So we thought, I think as a good example, everyone saw this rule called the Volcker Rule coming through, right? And the Volcker Rule was supposed to prevent banks from speculating and spin off, send away.
Speculating with their own money.
With their own money and send away all of their speculators into kind of their own companies and have them take care of that separately. So everyone knew the Volcker Rule was coming and many banks started spinning off that area of their business, which they call proprietary trading, trading for themselves in a proprietary manner. All J.P. Morgan did was move it into another office. So they're always going to find a way to speculate. And just because they don't call it that, just because they don't give us a giant red flag and arrows pointing at where they're doing it, I think we'd be naive to believe that it's not going on and on a large scale. Because, again, to make more money, it has to take bigger bets.
Well, Sheila, one of the things that came out of the whole financial crisis was the creation of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which, you know, its sole focus is to pay attention to consumers and make sure that they're not getting taken advantage of by financial institutions. Is that having some sort of effect and making things better, at least for us consumers who want mortgages or savings accounts or whatever?
I think it is very positive that there is someone out there paying attention to the fees and all the secret increases in interest rates on people's credit cards and all that kind of stuff. So that's net positive. However, there are people who feel that that is a real sort of misalignment of resources. I mean, that is not where the real risk in the system is. Those things are important, but there is a tremendous amount of risk that is not getting focused on by any special bureau. And the fact is, in spite of this Consumer Protection Bureau, banks have become very, very aggressive with the fees they charge and the sort of punitive charges they put on people, especially at the lower end of the economic scale. I mean, they seem to have developed this model where they, the less money you have, the more they're going to prey on you and demand fees and surcharges and charge you crazy overdraft fees. So I still really worry about whether it is actually tamping down on the things it is intended to. And then we still have a lot of sort of larger systemic risk that we don't really even understand. And
this is like such a depressing picture that you were painting of where Wall Street is several years later.
Well, I think the dynamics are pretty unchanging. I think a lot of people think that if you regulate banks, that somehow they will shrink down and submit to this great rule of the government. And indeed, that is not what happens. What happens is banks take regulation as a challenge. Come at me,
bro.
How can I
work around it? What can I do?
Yeah, exactly. Like, try it. Or, you know, I can outsmart you. I have smarter lawyers.
So then what do you do? How do you prevent another financial collapse like we had? Pause.
Well, the good news is we never have the same financial collapse twice in a row.
Okay.
So
it will be something new next time. They'll surprise us. It's going to be great.
Well, on that really upbeat note, what are some of the stories you're paying attention to maybe that are happening in the next week or so that maybe aren't so dire?
Well, we're always interested in how companies are using their power. And one of the stories I find intriguing is that Adidas, the sneaker company, is providing design resources to help high schools get rid of their offensive Native American mascots so that they can design new uniforms and get new mascots. And I think that's a great use of corporate power.
Sheila, what are you watching?
Mine is at the other end of the scale. I am very intrigued by all of the art auctions, which are just starting. And for the next 10 days, the major auction houses, Sotheby's, Christie's, and Phillips, are expected to sell $2 billion worth of art. So I always find that to be a very interesting window into the global economy and how certain groups of people are doing.
Well, Sheila, Heidi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sheila Kahatkar is with Bloomberg Businessweek, and Heidi Moore is from Mashable. And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.